on the wiki, and what you're seeing here is a mirage. We typically would not be able to see this from the Lake Michigan shore.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm joined this week again by Gloria Cannata. I shouldn't say the words this week. I should say today, because we are still having our regular show on Saturday with Paul Knight. It's actually like it's pretty much past his bedtime right now because he's alone. No, he's in the UK. So what I wanted to do today is I wanted to just throw a video together real quick. And this is going to focus for new people that are kind of seeing in on some of my posts, hearing about the Mandela effect. But you know, a lot of people, what they assume, Gloria, they assume that the Mandela effect right off the bat is either a reissue of like a movie or something, or a redone map, for instance, if we're talking about geography, or they'll think it's a digital download issue, or like a brand change or a logo change with a company. Right. And that's not what it is at all. So I wanted to kind of debunk those ideas right now. And once you get past that hurdle, you really start to see the Mandela effect in a whole different way, don't you? Because that is a big hurdle for a lot of people. And if you think it's one of those things, I understand why you think it's stupid, but you're thinking about what you're thinking it is it's not that. And it's so easy to prove that. And that's what's so great about the Mandela effect is we have what's called residue. So for instance, with so many things, like let's talk about Ed McMahon for a second. You know, Ed McMahon, everybody knows Ed McMahon worked for Publishers Clearing House. Matter of fact, he's from my hometown. Okay, but we used to get the mail. Remember, Gloria? Used to get the Publishers Clearing House envelopes for the $10 million sweepstake, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and it had his face right on it for many of the years. And he was there for a long time, you know? And, you know, we all remember this. And now he has never been affiliated with them at all. In fact, they say they've never even had a spokesman. But how could we remember this? Then people might want to say, oh, well, it's bad memory. How does bad memory make thousands, dare I say millions, I don't know how many, but multiple thousands, tens of thousands of people all remember something the same way that just never existed? It just never happened. This isn't like you know how like you have like a B actor, you might mix him up with another B actor. Oh, I thought I saw him in this action flick, but it was really another guy that looked kind of like him type of thing. This is Ed McMahon. Like, he was on The Tonight Show every night with Johnny Carson.
Right.
He did Star Search, and he did Publishers Clearing House. Not only was he the spokesman, he would come to their house with a giant check and balloons, and he would surprise them at the door, and they would film it, you know? And people say, oh, you're misremembering. Okay, well, you guys do know he did The Tonight Show, right? You guys do know he did Star Search. Tonight Show was his big thing. He did it with Carson for, I don't know, Gloria, how long? 30 years?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah.
At least 20, right? 20 would be a low estimate?
That's definitely a low estimate, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, now Johnny Carson is the main host, but Ed, they're not co-hosts like when we do our show. You know, I mean, Ed's kind of like his, you know, he's the other guy there on the show. Johnny's the star of the show. But they're partners. You would say that they're partners on that show. And they're probably very good friends. And even if they're not, I'm sure that they have an idea of what the other one does for a job on the side. So, you know, Johnny Carson comes on David Letterman one night. And this is what I'm talking about with residue. I want you guys, and you guys, I will leave links later. And you guys can verify what I'm saying because I'm not making any of it up. So you're going to verify it. So I'm going to, you know, if you say, oh, well, that's bullshit, go and verify it. Johnny Carson goes on the Letterman show. Gloria, you've seen this clip, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out and he says, congratulations, Dave. You're the $1 million winner. And it's a joke, you know. But he's like, Ed couldn't be here tonight. And then he pulls out a check. And it's a giant check. And on the check, because people, now the new reality is Ed McMahon supposedly worked for American Family Publishing or some bullcrap for a year with Dick Clark. Nobody remembers that. But anyways, Johnny, who just talked about Ed can't be here, but you're the $1 million winner, presents the check like in place of Ed. You know, that's what Johnny's doing. Ed's his boy of at least 30 years on his friggin' show. I think Johnny knows where he works. Okay. Boom. He pulls out the check and it says Publishers Clearing House right across it. But we're supposed to be all crazy. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you guys are not getting. It's not just bad memory. It's not a rebranding thing. For instance, let's talk about rebranding, for instance. And let's talk about one that was the first Mandela effect, maybe, Gloria, to hit you, the Looney Tunes.
Yeah, that was a really long time ago. I think my son was – I, you know what, Brian? I think – I don't know if that was –
Tilt your camera a bit. We can't see your mouth talking. We can just see.
Okay. I think that, because I'm sitting on the couch, so I'm comfortable. I think that was like 2000 and I don't know, 3, 4, 5, around that time. Yeah. I remember that changing.
Yeah. So when people say, oh, you don't have proof of this and stuff. Okay. Looney Tunes used to be spelled Looney, and then Tunes, like cartoons, T-O-O-N-S. Now it's T-U-N-E-S, and people, you know, there's all these, always a ridiculous backstory for the Mandela effect. Like, if you Wikipedia it or Google it, you'll read about, oh, it got its name from, like, the Merry Melodies tunes in, like, the 60s, and that was Looney Tunes with the T-U-N-E-S. But let me ask you this. 2 points. Tiny Tunes are based off the Looney Tunes. It's Warner Brothers. Not only is it Warner Brothers, not only is it the same world, it's the same effing characters. It's Baby Bugs, Baby Daffy. They were awesome too. I used to love Tiny Toons. Did you watch Tiny Toons?
No.
Tiny Toons was an awesome cartoon. So they have little Bugs, little Daffy, all their little characters, same characters, but it's T-O-O-N-S. And this came after the other one. Why would they not name it the same as the other one when it's based on the same characters? Why would they change the way Toons are spelled? They wouldn't. But then people, you want to get deeper into it? So like I said, you can look into logo changes, rebranding, this and that. So you go up and you look into the Who Is Domain Registry, where you can look into who registered websites and whatnot. And if you look up the Looney Tunes, the T-O-O-N-S, the website, Looney Tunes with the two O's, you know, .com, was registered 2 years before the T-U-N-E-S. Nobody would ever register the wrong spelling of their website before the correct one. Ever. You would definitely would register the wrong spelling in some cases after. Like with my site, you know, they'll offer me, I'm therealnewsonline.com. I get offers, oh, buy therealnewsonline.net, buy realnewsonline.com. But, you know, so if people do it by accident, they still find you and you buy it for like $2 or $3. But you buy the real domain first. You don't buy it after. You know what I mean?
Right. I agree.
Yeah. Tilt your camera again. We can't see you again.
No, I'm sorry. I was talking to people in the chat. No, I was looking at you completely blew Facebook up in the last 2 days. It's been unbelievable. One thing that gets me the most, you're talking about, I think you posted something about the Monopoly guy wearing the monocle. And I love when people respond, no, you're getting him confused with Mr. Peanut. Really? Really?
That's what people say. And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, that are listening. And again, this is for people that are just starting to look into this.
Right.
So in the chat, I know a lot of you guys have been here and, you know, we might be backtracking. But, you know, for the new people, okay, if this is what we're saying about proof and things not being changed, not being like a brand change or reissue type thing, the game Monopoly, I know that everybody that's listening to this show has played Monopoly in their life. Mm-hmm. Everybody. At least because I'm speaking English, so I know at least every English-speaking country, you know, everybody's played Monopoly. I don't know if they played in China or whatnot, whatever. But everybody's played Monopoly, okay? Everybody remembers the main character, and the guy has a monocle over his eye, and he has a black top hat. And people, what they'll try and say, now he's never had it. And right. What I'm trying to say is, and if you say, oh, well, maybe they took it out of the game, whatever, you could go in your closet right now and dig up a Monopoly game from the 1950s, because I know it goes back at least that far, maybe longer, I don't know. So we're talking 60, 70 years ago. You can go dig it up. You can dig one from the 80s. You can dig one from the 70s. Whatever you want, you can dig it up. He's not going to have the monocle. Even if you're sure of it, I'm sure of it. As a matter of fact, they say he's never had the monocle. Which is interesting because we have a lot of proof, which I will put in the links later. Like you guys can just YouTube it. YouTube Ace Ventura Monopoly Guy. And it's Jim Carrey, as I know him, Jim Carrey with one R. Jim Carrey, and he's doing the Ace Ventura. And this guy, they're at a costume party. This guy comes down the stairs He's dressed up with the black top hat. He's holding the monocle over his eye. It's very, you know, blatant what he's doing. And Jim Carrey says, "Oh, and you must be the Monopoly guy." And it's like, okay, so we're misremembering this. You're misremembering it. Jim Carrey's misremembering it. We're all confusing the plant this peanut guy with it. And the movie studio's doing the same. These are people that have to worry about copyright infringement and all types of shit. And you're telling me that they don't know what character they're mocking in their movie? There's no way. There's no way, because they have to walk on pins and needles when they do stuff like that, I'm sure, in some cases, you know?
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous to think that. And then, and you know, like the Mandela effect affects me every day in my life now, and I'll get more into that a little later in the show. But like, for instance, Kevin Nash and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Okay. Yeah, I'm talking about wrestling for a second because it's pertinent to this conversation. Sometimes to unwind, you know, everybody has that little thing. I like to listen to old wrestling interviews because those guys are funny. They'll come out, they'll expose the business, they'll talk mad shit about each other. But Kevin Nash and Stone Cold did an interview. And they were talking about when Kevin Nash went to the New World Order, you know, WCW, and Stone Cold stayed in, it was in the WWF, and they were talking about t-shirt sales, and Nash is like, "Oh, well, you know, 5-6 years ago, I didn't think me and my buddy would still be wrestling. Now our t-shirts on sale at every street corner in America and in every t-shirt shop," something like that. And he says, "But you know what the difference is, Steve?" And Steve says, "What?" And he says, "We know you were making bank." And Steve says, "I did all right." And he says, "Yeah, you were like the Monopoly guy. You come to town with the top hat and the monocle. Just like that, dude. Just like that." So they're also misremembering the same thing as us, putting this eyepiece on some frigging guy that never had it. It's like it goes on and on. You know what I mean? On and on. And this is what we're talking about. So if you guys are listening to this and you know that the Monopoly guy had a monocle, well, in this reality, he's never had one. But the point is, stop doubting your memory, because okay, at one point, yeah, everybody doubted their memory at first with this. You know, we all did. But when there's physical evidence backing this up, and then beyond that, we can't – I want to get into the music ones. We can't all misremember things word for word. So there's songs like Paint It Black by the Rolling Stones, Under the Bridge by Chili Peppers, Save Your Soul by Jewel, all these songs – the lyrics have changed. So, but we are all singing it one way, right? The same as each other. But if you go and get the album now, even if it's been in your house the whole time, nobody snuck in and switched it, they're all going to be changed to the new way. We're all going to be singing it wrong. And then on top of that, we'll find these live shows here and there that for some reason won't change, and we'll have the original artist singing the song the way we all know it, even though we never been to their live show. We're singing the album version, and we're supposed to believe they're all wrong, you're wrong, I'm wrong, thousands of people are wrong, and no, it was never the way we remember. No, it was. For instance, Under the Bridge by the Chili Peppers. Great song, okay? Great, epic song growing up in the 90s, okay? Anybody my age, your age, Glory, I'm sure it was a huge song, right? Okay, so is the city I live now? The video is shot in Los Angeles. Okay, it's about Los Angeles. Yeah, it's about his drug habit and whatever else he's doing in LA. But it's about Los Angeles. It's shot in LA. He lives in LA. LA. What's LA's nickname, Gloria?
City of Angels.
City of Angels. And in the song, it's the city I live in, the city of angels. Now he doesn't say angels. He says the city of Angel, which absolutely without any proof, first of all, just doesn't make any sense, right, Gloria? Does that make any sense? Because we're talking about LA. I mean, they're even showing footage of it.
No, it doesn't make any sense. But the thing that gets me, like, you know, like I said with you, with the Facebook thing going back and forth with people, because there's a lot of new people that follow you that this is new to them. So you're trying to explain it. And a lot of people are like, well, show me the proof. And there you are, showing proof after proof, and they're still not getting it. They're still going, oh no, that trademark is wrong. Oh no, they made a mistake. They still don't get it, regardless of how much proof we show them.
Yeah, and again, with this one, there is the proof though. So we know that City of Angel makes no sense. But you get the 2016 Lollapalooza performance of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and not only is the lead singer of the band, guess he doesn't know his own lyrics of his biggest song, the mega hit, right? He's singing City of Angels. The entire crowd of however many tens of thousands of people are at that stadium. I don't even know. Lollapalooza. I mean, how many people are there? I don't even want to guess. Is it 10, 50,000, 100,000, 10,000, 30,000? I don't know. Tens of thousands of people are all singing along and singing Angels. Same thing with Paint It Black. Okay. I see a red door and I want to paint it black. Now it doesn't even say Paint It Black. It says, I want it painted black. But we also have one live, actually two. I have two live shows of them. The Rolling Stones. Keith Richards clearly singing, I want to paint it black. But nope. And like with the people say, well, where's the proof? Where's the proof? Okay, we gave you the lead singer singing it the way we remember. But it doesn't match their albums, okay? The Rock Band video game, you used to play the guitar, but you would sing along. And you'd try to match the lyrics to get points. Granted, you didn't have to say the exact words. You more or less had a rhyme with the thing. It wasn't totally accurate, but it had the lyrics on the screen so you could read along. And I had the game, and I remembered that that was in there. I said, I'm going to go look it up. Sure enough, found a video, somebody playing it online, you know, bragging they played it on Expert or whatever. You know, kids do it on YouTube. And I played it, and it had the lyrics, and it said City of Angels with the S right on it. And I have all this proof. Anybody wants to – you guys can contact me, you know, whatever. Find me on YouTube, Facebook. All my links are in the description. I have all this, like, and so do many other Mandela Effect researchers. I'm not even saying I found most of it. Everybody's contributed in this, and I'm just trying to help put it out there. But you guys, you know –
That's like Brian, that's like adding an S to like New York, you know, the apple. New York is the big apples, you know, I mean, where Los Angeles lost the S. It doesn't even make sense. It's so stupid. It's just so stupid. And the song that gets me, you know what song gets me with Billy Joel, right? Son, can you play me a memory? Now it's Son, can you play me a melody? Now it's a memory. Yeah. How do you play
Son, can you play me a melody? Now it's Son, can you play me a memory? And there, you know, we've done whole shows on music, and I'm going to move on to the next topic. The other thing I want to tell you guys about is you guys want to know about evidence and residue. Besides just us pulling up the things that we've been pulling up, okay, we have what are known as parodies, okay? Now, parodies are very key with the Mandela Effect. And so what happens when the Mandela Effect happens, and as crazy as it sounds, you can fact check this, okay? So what happens is when the Mandela Effect happens is the official thing changed. So say there's a change in Star Wars, which there's many, which we'll get into. Say something changes in Star Wars, right? All the official movies and stuff are going to change. But if people do a spoof on it, like a Saturday Night Live or Big Bang Theory, The Simpsons, these types of shows, Mad TV, their spoofs will be mocking something that never existed apparently. But what we remember, so all these shows are mistaken as well. You know, for instance, The Simpsons is the biggest culprit so far, I think. And then The Big Bang Theory is second. And I think that's a lot to do with because they've just been on air the longest and they do mock these things. But there's always a lot of funny stuff going on with The Simpsons. We can touch on that another time, predict the program and whatnot. But with The Simpsons, you know, so when there's a Mandela Effect, like for instance, let's name a couple of them real quick and then I'll tell you what happens on The Simpsons. Gloria, the JFK assassination. Actually, let's start with a different one because that one actually has – let's start with the Wizard of Oz, the Fly My Pretty's Fly, okay? There's a whole bunch of Mandelas in the Wizard of Oz. But the Fly My Pretty's Fly, okay, when the witch says that, Fly My Pretty's Fly, she doesn't say that anymore. Now she just says fly, fly, fly. Now a couple more. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And then the song We Are the Champions by Queen always said of the world at the end. Now it's never said it. And I grew up, you guys all know, yeah, everybody, especially my era, especially anybody that has a sports town, you guys ever want a title, they all say, We are the champions. They all sing it. And at the end it says, because we are the champions of the world. It's been parodied on every show, man. It's everywhere. Well, on The Simpsons, you have Homer Simpson singing it. And of course, he says, of the world. But of the world's never existed now. Mr. Burns on The Simpsons, he's imitating the witch and he releases like monkeys out of a cage, bats or whatever it was, and he says, fly, my pretties, fly. Everything that they do on these shows, it's over and over. It exactly matches our memory. But we're told we're crazy or we're misremembering. Well, why is everybody remembering the same, including people that have big budgets, TV shows, and they're getting paid to do parodies of something? How are they all doing it wrong? And not only doing it wrong, how are they doing it the exact same as us? Okay?
That's right.
That's right. It's crazy. It's really crazy. And, you know, there's been a lot of things like people have done memory tests, you know. And I want to put a Mandela Effect Hits the Streets video in the show description for you guys. I want you to check it out if you're doubting this. It was done in Australia, and what they did. Gloria, you've seen this video, right?
Yeah, I seen that.
Good video, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what they did is they hit – can you put your camera on? Jeez.
I can't right this second because I'm looking for my cat, but go ahead.
Okay, so they put these people out on the street, and they asked them like 20 different – you know, things that have changed, but they gave them an A and B choice so the people could choose. And they just told them it was a memory test, simple, easy memory test. And they all thought it was, they all failed miserably. Out of 20 questions, like the best somebody got was like 3 or 4 of them right to where they are now, you know? And they were swearing. They're like, oh no, these must be backwards. These are the right ones. These are wrong. Like, oh no, you guys, you know? And it's like, for instance, Snow White, you guys all know the phrase, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?
You had to bring up Snow White, huh, Brian?
There's so much residue on it. Everybody knows that from being a kid. But now it's never said that. It says, magic mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all? The whole thing's changed. And it's funny because people say, oh, you're misremembering it. Well, here's where personal things happen with the Mandela Effect. I went to a friend's house, which I'll talk more about with the Wizard of Oz later, but I went to his house, and this is somebody I had recently, you know, told about the Mandela Effect. I went in his cabin, and I found a Burger King cup, Snow White commemorative Burger King cup, and it had the quote right on the back, and it said, mirror, mirror on the wall. So we're not crazy. And then, you know, they came out with a movie in 2012, I think, or 2013, and it was a motion picture with real actors playing the Snow White story out instead of a cartoon. And they named it Mirror Mirror. Now, why would they name it Mirror Mirror if that's never been said? Like, it's just ridiculous, you know? It's ridiculous. You guys all need to look into this. So basically the gist of what we're telling you here is, for instance, like Star Wars. Now, you know, when I grew up, C-3PO was always all gold. Everybody knows C-3PO. He's an all gold robot. A little annoying, right? But all gold robot. Now he has a silver link. And people will come at me, and this is important because this is what a lot of you will do. People will come at me and they'll say, oh, well, Star Wars, and Star Wars does have tons of versions. Oh, it's the Blu-ray release. It's the reissue. It's when they added the CGI. It's this, it's that. No, you can go back through all of them. He has the silver leg now and always has. Then people say, oh, well, it's a psyop. Somebody's fucking with us. You know, they're changing things on the internet. They own the internet, Brian. They own the media. You know this. You should know better. No, take out your own copies like I have. I've uploaded images for people, and Star Wars is not a rare movie. It's one of the biggest ever. Many of you have it. I don't even know who's listening yet, and I know many of you have it. Put it in, and right from the opening scene when their ship is getting attacked, C-3PO has the silver leg. And wait till you see Return of the Jedi. When he's in the Ewok village and they're holding him up in the chariot, all you see is the silver leg staring you in the face. Like, it's unbelievably brutal, dude. Brutal.
Yeah. And then you even have the people that go to, you know, the Star Wars conventions, I mean, by thousands and thousands.
Yeah, and that's who I want to talk to, you know? I want to talk to those people and see, like, where are you? Like, why don't these people notice? Because, like, why don't you go be outraged when, you know, you've been wearing this C-3PO costume you paid $1,000 for, it's all gold, and you watch the movie now because you watch it all the time, and now he's got a silver leg. Like, what do you think about that? And it's
No, I was going to say on, what do you call it? Oh, God, what's the name of that show? What's his name? He was wearing the Halloween costume. They were dressed as the Star Wars characters. Come on, what's the name of it?
Oh, my God, they do that on every show. I don't know.
Oh, Sheldon. What's the name of that show? I can't think.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, Sheldon, what show is he on?
I have no idea. No idea who Sheldon is.
Okay. I can't think of the name. All right, go ahead, whatever.
All right, next.
Big Bang Theory. There you go. Hello.
All right. Well, I don't watch that show. Paul watches that show, but that show, yeah, has a ton of residue.
Right, and he was dressed up like him, and he didn't have a silver leg. So, and that guy's supposed to be precise with everything.
Yeah, the costume is really good. That was actually the costume I was picturing when I said it. Yeah, that costume is really good. He's standing there with like a hippie long stocking or Raggedy Andy, Yeah. You know, like, and this is where it affects you personally. You know, personally, this affects me every day, and it's weird how some people are oblivious. They aren't oblivious to it because they are affected, but I just sometimes you don't bring it up. Like, I'm at work, and somebody's singing the Mr. Rogers theme at work the other day. And he's singing, "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor." But you know that's wrong? Yeah, anybody that's listening, you're wrong. It's not a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Now it's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. And you can go back and watch any episode of Mr. Rogers you want. If you have them on VHS, it doesn't matter. It'll say "in this neighborhood." But there's all types of news articles quoting them. Even presidents have given them awards where they quote them about a beautiful day in the neighborhood. And then every parody that's done from Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood on Saturday Night Live to this this animated shows that keep doing it, and these little children shows. I've been posting a lot of them lately, like that Daniel Tiger show. They all do the Mr. Rogers, and they all sing "It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood." You guys all know "It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood." You guys know that's the song. But no, you're all wrong. Supposedly, we're all wrong. It's never existed. And it's not just like people say, well, who tells you you're wrong? Well, reality. It's not just like we're going on a website, "Hey, you're wrong." No, no, no. Go look. You can't find it, even in your house. If you owned it, it changed. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Now, like, people say, oh, it's just trivial things. First of all, nothing's trivial, because if things are changing while they're in your possession and your past is changing, how is that trivial? Whether it's a letter change, a product change, a line change, but there's anatomy changes. Bible changes. Geography changes. I want to mention a geography change or two, and I want to mention the Bible a little bit. Gloria's pretty good with that. So, like, you know, for me, where I've come from, and I assume most of you, even if you're not going to come out and admit it right away, inside, you all remember South America being below Mexico. You all remember the Panama Canal running east to west and connecting the Pacific and the Atlantic Oceans like this. I know you do. No, I do. I know it.
Not anymore.
Go look at a map. Go look at a map. And don't just go look at a map, because you could say maps are fake. And I, one of the first people to tell you, the maps absolutely distorted, faked, all types of deception goes on with maps. But go back and look at the old maps you used to have in any of your old books or your kids' old textbooks, anything you got lying around, old encyclopedias. They're all going to reflect this change. The change I'm talking about is South America is now like 1,000 miles to the east, over near Africa. It's barely under North America. Like, it's not even under Mexico. It's like under Florida a little bit. And the tip of Mexico now has to come down and hit it on its left side, on its left side instead of the top. So the canal, instead of South America being here with Mexico, like, you know, like this, and the canal, Mexico, the South America over here. So Mexico is like this, and the canal is like this. It's north and south, maybe a little northeast, southwest. It's like this. That's not how it was. And you can look at Australia. It looks like it had a bite taken out of the top. Canada looks like it, two-thirds of the top right third of it's been decimated by ocean. Cuba is now the size of Florida, when it was a little tiny island. And Gloria, you want to talk about the location of Cuba?
Yeah, that to me, I'm sorry, that does not make any sense, because Cuba was never – never underneath Florida. And that's a fact. I mean, you have to understand, I've said this before, you know, living here, you have to keep track of the hurricanes, okay, because they come out of nowhere. And we were glued to the television. You knew where Cuba was. Here's Florida. Here's Cuba. And that's how we would judge, and that's how they would give you the projected path once it was near Cuba. I don't know how Cuba is here. Sorry, that doesn't – no, it's completely ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. It doesn't. And then another one I want to address real quick is a couple history ones, and then I want to talk a little bit about the Bible. With the history, you know, there's historical events, big ones that have changed. And the biggest Mandela effect for me involves Black Tom, the Statue of Liberty, and Ellis Island. It's all wrapped in one because it's all the same thing. So many facets to the Statue of Liberty that, you know, I'm not going to get into all of them today because some of them are a little deep. But, you know, almost anybody that's watching this video, I won't say everybody because we all come from different roads, but almost anybody that's watching this video, you know, you've done some research into like 9/11 or other events like that. I would think not everybody, but you know, at least we've all been to school. Okay. And for me, my road into researching was 9/11 around 2010 and then into other topics and eventually where I'm at now. And that was my passion. I mean, I've done hundreds of shows on it. I've interviewed everybody. I was deep in the trenches of 9/11. I've seen all the footage, all the documentaries. So listen, over and over and over with 9/11, we were told that it was the second foreign terrorist attack on U.S. soil. The first was being Pearl Harbor, okay? It was said over and over and over again. Well, now this just popped into existence like 2 years ago. Now think about this. You never heard about this in school, the media, and it was never mentioned on 9/11 or after in all the media that was passed about with 9/11. Disinformation or real information or whatever it be, right? You have never heard about two German spies sneaking in through New Jersey, setting off bombs in 1916 that was so bad that they damaged the Statue of Liberty to the point that the torch was never opened. They were felt in Philadelphia, and it measured 5.5 on the Richter scale. You've never heard of that. And I have talked to people who have been to the torch, but the torch has supposedly never been opened in this timeline. Never. And, you know, whether you know about that or not, I know everybody listening to this, unless you've been following the Mandela Effect for the last year or two, you've never heard of Black Tom. When I said Black Tom, you're probably like, who the hell is he? Nobody's ever heard of Black Tom. Ever. And how would you not hear of the first foreign terrorist attack on U.S. soil? How would you not hear it brought up over 9/11 time and time again? And how would, you know, how is it the first one when they said Pearl Harbor was the first over and over and over? This just came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And you know, Brian, I actually today I was, for some reason, I just wanted to look up the pictures. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. When you look at the damage it did to New Jersey, I'm like, it just doesn't even make any sense. I was watching a whole documentary on it. I was like, no way, no way. I mean, I'm from New York. Not that I was born, not that I was alive, but I mean, my family would have known. No, nobody's ever heard of it.
Nope. Yeah. Absolutely crazy. And now let's mix it up now. Now for the people out there that are Christians or, you know, into the Bible, and we know not everybody is. I've never read the Bible. I'll tell you right now. But there's some things in there that I know just don't belong. There's some sayings in there that I know just don't belong in some words. For instance, Gloria, would you like to speak about the word matrix and how it is in the Bible?
Oh, yeah. The matrix is now in the Bible, but it's supposed to mean, I guess, the womb. So why wouldn't it say womb? And now it says matrix, where it did say womb, but now it's matrix. Even if that was the only change to the Bible, that would be enough. Seriously, that would be enough.
It would be enough. And then, you know, one that people want to come after me on, and I posted this and it got like 500 comments overnight. And I told you it was going to. And, you know, a lot of people that watch this know some of my other beliefs. And there's a lot of people I talk to in the flat earth community that talk to, you know, they have debates like Christian type based debates or, you know, the people that believe in the Bible on both sides of the discussion. And it's often brought up how planets are not in the Bible. But I'm going to let you know, either all you people were lying, which I don't believe to be the truth. Okay. Either all you people are going to admit you were lying, or you're going to admit that it wasn't in there and it's in there now.
How many different Bibles? How many did I send you the other night?
Oh, it's in a bunch. It's not in all of them, but it's in a bunch. And people will say, oh, it's supposed to mean constellations. And I do agree that a lot of the Bibles where it said constellations, the word planets is there. Now, I don't give a damn what it's supposed to mean. The fact is the word wasn't in there. You guys based the whole arguments off of this. The word wasn't in there. The word is in there now. And, you know, to bring it back a little easier for the beginners, other stuff that's in the Bible now, Jesus was now hung on a cross. I mean, on a tree, not in a cross. Jesus was hung in a tree and not on a cross. And that's in about right now, probably increasing soon, about 70% of the Bibles. You can go online. There's like 30 different versions that it'll show. About 70 of them 70% now say Jesus was hung in a tree. And didn't you say the word crucifixion is completely not in the KJV now?
Not, nope. Nowhere to be found. You could, I remember looking at it a year ago and the word crucify was, but not crucifixion. So I don't know if crucify is in there anymore. I haven't looked, but I know crucifixion isn't. And that's completely, completely ridiculous.
Completely ridiculous. And if people, this is how they try and justify it. They will say, oh, well, you know, it's a metaphor because trees, you know, wood is made out of trees and a cross is made out of wood. And it's like, dude, go F yourself with that. All right. People are in such denial. It's absolutely amazing. And then there's some things that like everybody knows, the lion and the lamb, the lion shall lay with the lamb, lion and the lamb. There's songs about it from Elvis, Martin Luther King's done speeches with it, shows it parodied it, the sculptures, statues, artwork. Everybody knows the lion and the lamb from Isaiah 11:6. Well, the lion isn't, it's not the lion and the lamb anymore. It never has been. It's the wolf shall lay with the lamb now.
You know,
that's what the Bible says.
You know, Brian, when you just to get back really quick on, because I don't know the verse exactly, but to get back on the cross, there is a verse in the Bible, and I don't know offhand where it is, but Jesus says, lift up your cross, like carry, you know, to carry your cross on your shoulder. And people say, well, they did have to, you know, he wanted everybody to carry the cross when he was getting crucified, but then they hung him on a tree afterwards. Yep. So why does everybody wear a cross? I don't know. Go ahead. Going back to the lion and the lamb. That's kind of freaking.
And again, the point, again, for the people that are new to this, which is the reason I want to do this video, is you can take out your Bible. It doesn't matter if it's online. It doesn't matter if you bought it last week, last year. It doesn't matter if it's been passed down in your family for 300 years.
Mm-hmm.
Changes we speak of are in there now. And they weren't before. And what you do is you, when you approach people, you do it this way. You ask them, hey, what does Isaiah 11:6 say? Or what lays with the lamb? You don't give them a choice A and B. You just say it like that. And they're almost always going to answer the way we remember. I mean, especially with the lion and lamb, everybody's going to say lion. And then when you pull out the Bible and prove it to them, one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to like get that update, like we like to say, whatever it is, and they're just going to go into full-on denial mode, start justifying it. They're going to tell you how the Bible's a metaphor and blah, 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 blah. They're going to go into all this, which when they just told you it was in there, or they're going to admit that, wow, something is supernaturally changing here. We don't have to come out and know what it is right away. We don't know. There's a lot of theories. Okay, the important thing is for everybody, this is happening. It's time to recognize it. I know there's people from different research communities hopefully checking this video out. You need to research the Mandela Effect. And any one of us would be glad to walk you through it. I have a radio interview that I did, so it's not a video, but it's the introduction to the Mandela Effect. I do plan on doing a video one soon, you know, a little different, do it with Gloria and Paul or something. But we got tons of other videos on it, but we do have stuff for beginners. And I have a playlist with other people's content where you can just start at the top and you get through the first four or five videos, you're really going to have your mind blown. And you really need to look into this because whether whether you want to look into it or not, it's going to affect you and it's happening all around you. And I don't think it's an evil thing. I think it's a wonderful thing. And you should come along for the ride with us because we're having a great time.
Yeah. And I'd like to say to everybody before we go, going, as far as the lamb, like the lamb, what about the verse that says, beware of a wolf in sheep's clothing? So if the wolf was so dangerous, how does he represent the Christ now? Just saying, and I will leave on that note and look for Mike.
Oh, no, we're not done yet.
Oh, we're not? Oh, okay. Put my camera off because I got to go look for it, but I'm still listening. Go ahead.
We got like 10 or 15 more minutes because I want to talk about the grocery store. Okay, so your grocery store is a huge Mandela Effect because so many of the products you grew up with are different or do not exist. And for instance, we all grew up eating Stouffer's stovetop stuffing, you know? At least I know I did. All my friends did. And, you know, I kind of had some the other night, but I didn't. Because now Stouffer's is Kraft stovetop. But here's the thing, again, new people to this. Go and look back and look for the brand change or look for when Stouffer's sold it to Kraft or when Kraft bought out Stouffer's or any of this. And it didn't happen. It's always been Kraft. In this reality, you can check these things. You can check things with the trademark office, which often has tons of residue of the official ways of things. Please, guys, you guys need to look into this, okay? There's just so many things that change, and it's people's names, it's music, geography, anatomy. You now have bones in the back of your eye sockets, your rib cages have changed. This can't be a psychological operation from somebody behind computers. Well, the government. I can't. What are they going to do? How are they going to change stuff under your skin? And are they sneaking in your house in the middle of the night? Is the Mandela burglar coming by, updating all your fucking movies and shit? No, I don't. He's not doing that. That's not what's happening.
So, Brian, most of the comments, and you know, like on the post that you posted about the Mandela, what is like everything? Everybody always says, "Oh, this is CERN. This is the Hadron Collider." Please address that with CERN. Please address that. Okay.
People are quick to jump to the conclusion that it's CERN and it's this and that. But as we've seen with other topics, you guys should already know better. You can't just give science credit for things that you can't prove that they're doing. You're never going to see those tests repeated. You're not going to, you know, then you're not going to observe them. They're not repeatable. They're not, it's nothing that you could ever prove. It's coming from CERN, and they're just like NASA. They're like NASA underground, and anything that has to do with the spiritual awakening or the creator, they are going to try to co-opt that and make it seem as if it's science doing it. And I know they don't come right out and say, we're doing you know, CERN's doing Mandela effect, but they know the rumors surrounding it, you know, and they egg that on, you know, it's certainly with the old guy with the bond sign.
If you could get the credit for changing reality, wouldn't you try? Right? And they want the credit for doing that. And it's not them. Because if it was CERN, and I can't stress this enough, everyone would be experiencing the Mandela effect. Everyone.
And it's been going on way long before CERN was a twinkle in anybody's eyes.
That's right.
Way longer. And I want to close it out with a couple of things. And I just want to say I woke a few really good friends of mine up to the Mandela effect recently. People that I've been in other communities with and trying to get to look at it for a long time. They're finally starting to get it, and it's really going well. We could definitely use more assets like this in the community. Guys, please research everything, not just these topics, not even just topics I look at. Research everything, and don't just dismiss anything as a psyop until you dig into it, because usually anything with a lot of validity and truth has the stigma of being a psyop until you look deep into it. That's what people always say, okay? They always say it, always. And I just want to thank everybody. I wanted to keep this short. I wanted to keep this for the new people. Guys, make sure you check out my Introduction to the Mandela Effect radio show. I'll leave it below. I'll leave some other links for you guys to the playlist and stuff to get you beginners going along. And just make sure you look into this and look for us Saturday. Anybody that's a normal listener or new people, if you want to come, we're going to talk about technology before its time on Saturday, a lot of historical events that have changed with Mandela Effect, as well as some new ones and whatever else we get into. And this week, we're going to do that an hour earlier than usual at 2 p.m. Eastern time instead of 3 p.m. Eastern time. Gloria, Paul Knight, and myself will be live here on my backup channel, but also remember, after this week, we got the main channel back. So make sure you sub to it. Yay. In the show description every time. We're going to do something big. I think on the 17th, I want to do my awakening interview finally. My awakening, like my interview, my story. So I think we're going to do that on the 17th. If not, it'll be the 24th. But make sure you sub to both my channels. Okay, this one is my backup that I'm doing it live on. All right. Thank you, everybody. Gloria, you got anything else you want to say before we go?
Guys, you gotta come on. You gotta watch us on Saturday. We have quite a few new mind-blowing ones that nobody spoke about yet. I came across some, so yeah, you gotta tune in.
All right, awesome. Thank you, everybody. You've been listening to Dose of Reality with Brian Stavely, Gloria Cannata. Sub both channels. We'll see you Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern time. And make sure you save my website to your favorites in case anything ever happens with YouTube. Everything's backed up there, and all my content since 2010, all my blogs and radio shows and everything I've done there with James Sloan, Justin Cook, and any guests I've had are all there. All the shows are downloadable, all free. You can even lock your phone while you play them and adjust the volume, unlike YouTube. So it works out really well. That's therealnewsonline.com. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.